The House will come to order. The flag salute will be led today by Representative Bill Kennemer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by Pastor Grant Knepper, Zion Lutheran Church, Hillsboro, guest of Representative Sean Lindsay.
Good morning. It is my privilege and my honor to be here. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness. We bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that our Lord has done for us and enable us to show our thankfulness by lives that are wholly given to your service. Preserve our nation in justice and honor that we may lead a peaceable life of integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land. Be especially with the members of the Oregon State Legislature, their staffs who assist them, and all who are served by them. Enable our lawmakers to foster legislation that provides governance with strength and power tempered by justice. Inspire them with the wisdom to write and enact laws that will guarantee safety, protection, and integrity. Cause lawmakers to encourage goodwill among people that all citizens may grow in their appreciation of justice. Use the efforts of those who write the laws and those who interpret them for the accomplishment of what is pleasing to you. Bless the schools of our state and all colleges, universities, and centers of research and those who teach in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth and justice. Let your blessing rest upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of the people of the great state of Oregon. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. All these things, and whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
Courtesies. Representative Lindsay, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Great to be with you this morning. Colleagues, Pastor Grant Knepper comes from a military family and grew up on Army bases around the country and in Europe. He has his Bachelor's of Arts in History from Seattle Pacific University and a Master's of Divinity from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He has been married to his wife, Pam, for almost 20 years, who's here with us today, if you'd like to stand as well, Pam. And he's also joined together, and together they have a 12-year-old daughter, Renee, who's here today as well. In addition to serving as pastor of Zion Lutheran Church right there in Hillsboro, Pastor Knepper is also an adjunct professor of theology at Concordia University, Portland, and chairman of Oregon's Pastors Conference. On the less serious side, this is fun, Pastor Knepper has a great love of Oregon beer and wine and is a strong proponent of Portland's happy hour culture. He still enjoys 80s metal, as do I, of his youth, and has the hardest rocking iPod in the entire Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Please join me in welcoming Pastor Knepper and his family, Pam and Renee, to the Capitol.
Further courtesies. Members, I'd like to welcome the students from the Rachel L. Carson School of Environmental Science from Beaverton, guest of Representative Chris Harker, the students here today, up there. Thanks for coming to your Capitol. Further courtesies. Representative Clem, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to extend courtesies today to one of those unsung public servants who work here in the Capitol, Bruce Parsons. It's Bruce's 14th birthday today, as he's a leap year baby. And he's worked in the Capitol for 33 years, putting him at negative 19 when he started working here in the Capitol. Bruce, my dad delivered the mail for 40 years, and so I know the characteristics of a good person working in the mail area. They have to be social. They have to obviously be detail-oriented, but enjoy people. And Bruce is just a friendly face who, you know, for years has done our work helping us get our mail and sorting, and I just wanted to extend him a happy birthday and courtesies on his 14th birthday.
Thank you, Representative. Happy birthday, Bruce, from all of us in the House. Further courtesies. Verification of quorum. The clerk will open the voting system to determine a presence of a quorum. Representative Wisnett. Representative Wisnett. He's present. Quorum is present.
We have Portland State University students in the administration program over here, too.
Speaker Roland asked me at least acknowledge that the students from Portland State University,
administration program,
are here as well. Welcome to your state capitol. Thanks for being here. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that the Senate has concurred in House amendments to repass Senate Bill 1527, Senate Bill 1563. Senate refused to concur in House amendments. Senators Boquist, Chair, Senator Haas, and Senators Monis Anderson had appointed Senate conferees. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed House Bill 4016, 4021, 4057, 4064, 4072, 4089, 4108, 4111, HCR 204, Senate Bill 1510, SCR 205, 208, and SJM 201.
Effective immediately, we are appointing the following representatives to a conference committee for Senate Bill 1563B. Representative Sal Esquivel, co-chair. Representative Brad Witt, co-chair. Representative Gene Cowan and Representative Julie Parrish. First readings, memorials, and resolutions.
HCR 207, adjourning sine die 2012, regular session of the 76th Legislative Assembly.
Measures read the first time are passed to the co-speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4005, relating to tax credit for livestock killed by predators and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading of House Bill 4005C. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill. House Bill 4005 was introduced by me at something of the bequest of the Oregon Cattlemen Association. The loss of livestock to wolves and especially to wolves in one or to cattlemen in one part of the state, Wallowa County, and more specifically to that area just east of and north of Joseph, there's been a group of wolves that are known as the Imnaha Pack, and they have taken the lead of their alpha male and have been really devastating to ranchers in that area. One thing in relationship to this bill is not and let me say, underline that, is not a kill bill as far as wolves are concerned. Wolves are placed in no jeopardy by this bill. The bill simply provides for some compensation for kills that wolves make that can be identified as a wolf kill. Underline that, there's no threat to wolves unless they're poor hunters and can't catch anything else out there. This is not in a place any wolves in jeopardy. It simply provides compensation via a tax credit up to a limit, and that's a very, very modest limit, understand. It comes to you because we know, I know, the cattlemen know, we're in tough times, and they want you to recognize that they know we're in tough times. So an amount of $37,500 a year allows for tax. This bill allows for tax credits for up to $37,500 a year. A very, very modest proposal. One thing that I would also like to emphasize about this bill, and one of the problems of getting a little bit older is you first can't read without your glasses, and then you can't see where they are to pick them up. This bill is not intended to replace in any way or supplement any other provisions available to address wolf depredation under the Oregon Wolf Plan, or under Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan, to be correct with it. The compensation is modest. What it actually does is modest. So we would ask for your support today. I know you've got some of you have gotten a lot of emails addressing this. I think this will very easily explain to your constituents what it is. And my principle, and I think all of our principles, is if you want some of these things, okay, conservation, you want conservation. If you want wolves, hey, we ought to be willing to pay the price. This is a private property right. These animals are being killed on private property. They're being killed, and the animals themselves are private property. When we, the state, or county, or school district, or anybody else, take private property, I think there's a fundamental right there that the people whose private property we have taken, the calf, is entitled for compensation. So I ask for your support on this bill, and I'll quit and answer any questions that any of you may have. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I want wolves reintroduced to Oregon. I'm in favor of that. But I live in Beaverton. We don't have any wolves there, and I don't think we're going to have any in my lifetime there. We're asking that we reintroduce the wolves up in northeast Oregon, and there are ranchers there that have been there for a long time, and they're raising cattle, and they've been encouraged by the government with subsidies on the grazing to be in business there. If we want wolves back, most of Oregon, and I believe probably most people in Oregon do, but very few of those people live up in northeast Oregon, we should be willing to treat this like an insurance policy and spread the risk. We need to spread the risk. I'm willing to pick up a little piece of that, a tiny piece, through the tax credit issue, to cover the ranchers who've invested and are working hard to make a living up there. A $37,500 hit is a pretty big hit to somebody, so that we can enjoy the reintroduction of that mighty canine back into Oregon, even though this is a different one that was originally here. But I think this is a good bill, a reasonable bill, and I thank the good representative from Pendleton for bringing that before the body, and I encourage your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill. Colleagues, I have no issue with compensation. I think the points that have been made around compensation are fair and valid. I do have issue with the mechanism. It has not been explained, I think, in any kind of adequate detail in the two committees in which I've heard this bill, why a tax credit is the appropriate mechanism. We have created a fund for compensation, and we compensate livestock owners out of that fund. A much better use of that $75,000 would be to put it into that fund and compensate livestock owners with a grant, as opposed to an inefficient tax credit mechanism that by nature does not deliver as much money back to the owner as a direct grant would, and cost the state more in terms of duplication of another device when we have one available to us. I will be a no on the bill for that reason. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, the bill. Thank you. It's a good bill. Should pass or dry vote. Quite frankly, I don't care how we pay these folks. If this community wants these animals in our state, great. I'm not against that either. But what this bill is not doing, and I ask my friend to correct me if I'm wrong, we are not reimbursing the cattlemen and cattlewomen for loss of weight or their inability to gain weight due to the stress that are put on these animals, because of the presence of wolves. We're not paying them for their reproduction process being interrupted as a result of that stress, because of the presence of wolves, or their calving process being interrupted, or premature calves being born as a result of stress on the cow calving that calf. We're not paying for any of that. Oddly enough, we have other policies that need to be addressed relating to depredation. I was on the Goose Depredation Task Force with Senator Johnson before last session started. We're talking about millions of dollars of lost grass seed being chomped by these geese. I'm hoping some of these wolves moved into the Willamette Valley and start eating some of them geese. That would probably be a good thing. Anyway, a good bill should pass or drive on.
Further discussion, Representative Bence.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I join my colleague in wishing the wolves would move to this part of the country to chomp on the geese. And we'll do what we can to encourage that movement. I want it clear that this bill is not intended to replace or supplant the other provisions available to address livestock depredation under the Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. I also want to join my colleagues who have mentioned that this bill is a very modest step in trying to pay for that which we have, this group of invited wolves, the cost that they're going to wreck, I guess is the right word, upon my constituents. This is a very, very small step. It does not cover so many other things that this new species will cause. So it's a small step. It's, in my mind, something, and I would appreciate your aye vote.
Further discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
I certainly want to agree with the good member from the Far East on the issue of geese, and the other member also who addressed it. I had an experience, or actually my wife did, several years ago involving a goose, a bicycle, and a broken arm. And I have no particular love loss for the geese as a result of that. But that being what it is, that's not what this bill is about. The bill started in the Natural Resources Committee. It was sent to the Revenue Committee with a due pass. I considered that as settling the issue of the policy for us from the standpoint of the committee process, because the first committee was charged with looking into that issue and they decided it in the affirmative. The Revenue Committee's job was to make certain that the approach that we used was sensible and that it had reasonable sideboards. When the bill came to us, there were some difficulties with sideboards. The good representative who sponsored the bill and who is the carrier today agreed to add those sideboards so that we have a tight bill with very strict limitations, but which also accomplishes the goal of the bill. I am not interested in, as you know, in pursuing tax credits that will have the effect of blowing our budget wide open. And this bill does not do that, and it doesn't do it because those sideboards have been added. It's a tight bill. It's a limited bill. It accomplishes the goal for that it was set out to accomplish, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Jensen, do you wish to close?
Only very briefly, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, again, I want to emphasize for you that this bill is not intended to replace or supplant provisions available to address livestock deprivation under the Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. This bill does not threaten any wolves. This bill is simply fair compensation, limited, capped for this fiscal year. Fair compensation to landowners, ranchers, and farmers who have livestock killed by a wolf. I urge your aye vote, and thank you very much for your consideration of this.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Reed, how do you vote? He votes no. House Bill 4005C, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, temporary second reading. Or second reading.
Yeah, this one for a second reading.
Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business to second reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 15-08, relating to beverage containers and declaring an emergency.
A bill read the second time has passed a third reading. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1588, relating to exclusion from the definition of employment for certain service performed for certain owner-operated managed entities and prescribing an effective date.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1588. Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 1588 comes to the floor from the House Rules Committee following hearings in the House Business and Labor and the Senate Transportation and Economic Development Committee. The bill before you today is a product of negotiation, compromise, and hard work by stakeholders who met during the interim to address concerns and to reach a consensus. Senate Bill 1588 excludes persons who own and operate taxi cabs and provide non-emergency medical transport from the definition of employment for purposes of unemployment insurance benefits under certain conditions. The measure clarifies that persons who provide taxicab and non-emergency medical transportation services are not employees for purposes of paying into or receiving unemployment insurance benefits if the following narrowly drafted conditions are met. The person operates and owns or has leasehold interest in a vehicle being used to provide the service. The service is for an entity that is governed by a board of owner-operators elected by the entity's members. The vehicle is a passenger vehicle capable of seating between 3 and 7 people. The route must begin and end in Oregon. Passengers must have discretion to control the route. A fare is charged based on the combination of initial fee and distance travel or waiting time. The vehicle must not be used for errands or transporting property unless it's incidental in transporting the passengers. Senate Bill 1588 came out of the Senate with a 30-0 count and out of the House Rules Committee with a 9-1 vote. This is a good bill, and I urge your support.
Further discussion, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I oftentimes look at the Senate and agree with a lot of things they come out with, especially when they're unanimous. But in this particular instance, I find myself opposing this bill, and I wanted to explain why. I was a no vote in committee and will be a no vote on the floor. Colleagues, this bill, though it may appear that it talks about owner-operators and of taxi cabs, for example, and other passenger motor vehicles, sort of leads you to believe that they're not employees. Well, I guess we're making a decision under this bill that they're not employees for this specific purpose, which is unemployment insurance benefits. I think there's a fundamental problem with this body making such a policy decision, especially when it impacts a specific company. I think there are some free market fundamentals that are being violated by doing this. How is this fair to other companies who, in fact, operate similar business in the same industry, and yet they pay unemployment insurance benefits on their workers? I don't believe that's a fair policy to make. If, in fact, this cab company or a cab company under this bill doesn't want to be responsible for the benefits paid to workers, they should be classified as independent contractors. This bill does not do that. This bill goes on to state that a person who has an ownership or leasehold interest in the passenger motor vehicle, that's the people that aren't going to get unemployment benefits under this. What does that mean? What is an ownership stake? Does that mean they get 0.1% of a share of the company with their paycheck? Now all of a sudden they have an ownership? I'm not saying that's the case, but under this bill it could be. And what is a leasehold interest? If you would look up ORS 656-027-28, you would find out a leasehold interest is really just a requirement that they have to lease the cab during their shift. They don't really own it. And in fact, these same cab drivers, to be clear, are not necessarily members of this business entity, whether it's a co-op or whatever type of entity this is. The bill doesn't say that they're actually members of this entity or that they are. It just says that it's for an entity that is operated by a board of owner-operators. It could be two of them under this bill. And the rest of these people are essentially employees except for the provision as it pertains to unemployment insurance. Colleagues, I think that's a bad policy for a couple of different reasons, one of which I've already stated about how is this fair to other companies. Why should employees of one business structure be treated differently than the employees of a LLC, for example, or a partnership? Why a specific carve-out for employees under this form of business? They're still employees. Colleagues, this represents a shift of the economic burden on the backs of a working class folks in a particular industry. I would argue that we need to raise the standard of living of the working class in this country as the income gap, and in this state, as the income gap continues to widen. We need a strong middle class for our economy to go out and purchase things, to go out, buy a house, to go to dinner, to spend money in our communities. By taking away these sorts of benefits, workers' comp, taking away unemployment insurance, taking away those benefits, that's an economic hardship that is going to be suffered by those people when they need that kind of relief because our economy is volatile and it has its ups and downs. Colleagues, I can sympathize that this may be written very narrowly for a specific case for a particular company that may, you know, be in a litigation.
Representative Tomei yields.
Thank you, Representative. That may be in a litigation, but is it really right for us to wade into that at that particular point in time and change the law and create a policy that is going to create this inequity in the marketplace and be a burden on working class individuals? I worry that this narrowly written bill will in fact lead to more companies going down this road going, hey, they don't have to pay unemployment insurance. Why should we? What do we need to do to get out from underneath this? And they will. I think that's the wrong direction for this state. I think it's the wrong direction for our economy. And it's definitely wrong for working class individuals. I wish that somebody would stand up for working class people. We often do. Sometimes I do, sometimes others do. But on this particular issue, I think it's important for us to look at the implications of this, the ramifications of this down the road. Colleagues, I urge a no vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill.
To the bill.
You know, I've made my share of mistakes on this floor, and I got to take partial responsibility for us continuing to slide down this slippery slope. 2007 passed a bill exempting these very same workers from workers' compensation, and I supported that bill, and I regret it now. I just have to stand up here and say that. I'm not going to make the same mistake again today. If this is upheld in court, then they are found workers and the company is required to pay them unemployment insurance, then I believe we should come back here next year and require those same workers to get workers' compensation and all the other benefits an employee earns and deserves in this state. And let's just say, what if one of them does get hurt? Who's going to pay for that? What are we going to do? What are they, when they do lose their job, what are they going to do if they don't have unemployment insurance? We all know what they're going to do. They're going to come here asking for more services, and we're going to give it to them, even though those resources are shrinking. This is not a good idea. It is going in the wrong direction, and I agree with my colleague. There will be people, and I'm confident there will be a flood of people coming to say, what about me? I want this too, not just for cab drivers or non-emergency medical transporters. I can see it happening, and that I would never support. Now, raising the quality of life of our workers, we need to cut some timber, mine some gravel, develop some water, and put those workers back to work. Thank you very much. Urge your no vote.
Further discussion, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, my error was more recent than the one from the member from Happy Valley, And I'm persuaded both by the arguments made by the member from the Emerald Empire and from the member from Happy Valley, and also some additional information that I learned after the hearing and after the vote in the Rules Committee where I supported this bill. I'm now persuaded that the bill should be defeated, and I intend to vote no and would urge you to do the same. What I learned was a very interesting fact that, in fact, that two-thirds of the drivers for the company that would be affected by this bill directly are drivers who rent a cab for a 12-hour shift and work essentially under the same kinds of rules that cabbies who work with other companies that are not employee-owned cooperatives work under. Approximately one-third of the drivers are share owners in the business and own the right to control a car for 12 hours or for 24 hours or more. I like the cooperative model for this kind of business. I think that in terms of a business, it probably does a better job of protecting owners. But that doesn't mean that the employees of the business should not be entitled to unemployment compensation in the event they're laid off, just as other workers are when they're laid off. It is important, critically important, that we take heart of the issues raised by the two members I already referred to, who correctly state that the issue in front of us in these kinds of bills involving employee benefits is the issue of the kind of society that we want to live in. Do we want to live in a society in which workers can make a living, in which when workers are laid off or injured, they're able to receive compensation and a chance to recoup and a chance to get back to work, or not? For most of the workers, for the company that this bill is aimed at, most of them are in precisely the same position as if they worked for any other cab company. And colleagues, as a result of that information which I got after the hearing, I'm changing my vote from yes to no, and I would urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I rise to declare potential conflict.
State your conflict.
My brother works as a cab driver for the company impacted by the bill.
So noted for the record. Further discussion? Seeing none. Representative Barker is in the queue for a second time. This is the first time on this bill. That's right. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the bill. Colleagues, just really the basic thing to me is you have somebody, a group of people who are going to say they don't have unemployment insurance. We're going to exclude the employer who really, they're not independent. I mean, Radio Cab is not independent. That's a group. If they didn't have that infrastructure, they wouldn't have a job. And the problem with this is we're start this carve out, then who's next? Is FedEx going to say we're independent? They need unemployment. They should be covered by their self-paying, the unemployment insurance, because if they don't have that and they get laid off, they go on welfare, and the rest of the taxpayers shouldn't be picking that up. The employer and they should be taking care of that. I encourage your no vote on this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Now seeing none. Representative Esquivel, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'm going to repeat part of my opening remarks, so maybe we could listen to it. The person operates and owns or has leasehold interest in a vehicle being used to provide the service. Now, that doesn't mean a rental. That means they own it or they have a leasehold. The service of the entity that is governed by the board of owner-operators elected by the entity's members. You have to buy in to the organization. This has been going on for 65-plus years. And now government wants to be involved with dictating to these people what they should or should not be doing. I think our time would be better spent if we worried about our $390 million loss in this department instead of some independent operators in the field that have been this way for 65 years. They are not employees. They come and go as they set, as they please, and they have no set hours. They have a time slot when they're eligible to work, but they don't have to be there. And again, they buy into the company. They vote on who is the board of directors. Definitely not employees. I urge your aye vote.
Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Conger, how do you vote? Representative Parrish, how do you vote? Representative Hoyle, how do you vote? House Bill, Senate Bill 1588, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily return to the order of business of second reading of House bills. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk will read the bills. Oh. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and House Bill 4040, 4061, and 4131 be read second time immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerks will read the bill.
House Bill 4017 relating to ignition interlock devices. House Bill 4040 relating to investment for economic development, appropriate money, and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4061 relating to higher education governance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 4131 relating to ratio of state agency public employees to supervisory employees and declaring an emergency.
Bills read the second time are moved to third reading. Before we take a recess motion, is there any announcements? Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe we'll be coming back at 1:30. We'll hear an announcement for that. Colleagues, House Democrats will caucus at noon. Grab your lunch or eat beforehand, but we're going to start at noon in the caucus room. Thank you.
Further announcements? Seeing none, wait. There will be a supplemental third reading and a third reading alert coming out shortly. Any further announcements? Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since we're coming back at 1:30, Republicans will caucus at 1 o'clock.
Further announcements? Seeing none. Representative Jensen. Representative Jensen, 1:30 recess today.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m. this afternoon, Wednesday, February 29th, 2012.
Representative Jensen moves. We stand in recess until 1:30 p.m. February 29th. That's today. Without objection, we stand in recess.